Well, how about now? Is that better? That's good. All right.
It was my fault. Sorry. Sorry back there.
It is good to be with you. Yeah, you know, we're neighbors. Like, my office is right there. I mean, we share the same space. So, again, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Joey. I work for the Presbytery of San Jose, which is that network of Presbyterian churches of which you are a part. And we have over 30 congregations from Palo Alto in the north all the way down to Gonzales in the south. Some of you don't know Gonzales. It's right a little south of Salinas. We have many congregations and new worshiping communities. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Matthew's gospel. It is the fifth chapter, and it is a part of what is popularly known as the Sermon on the Mount. Well-known verses. It's most of the fifth chapter. Interesting, Luke has the same sermon, a little bit different, but in Luke's version, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. So there's a little kind of a difference there, whether Jesus preached the sermon on a hillside, like Matthew says, or whether he did it on the plain or the flat ground. Listen for God's word to us today. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So ends the reading. I like salt. I like salty things. I'd rather have a potato chip than a cookie. My doctor does not like it that I like salt. Most of us probably don't think very much about salt. Jesus said, "You are salt." Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, salt is really valuable. You actually cannot live without it. Unless you're a cook, most of us take salt for granted. It's so widely available now. It's really quite cheap. I mean, if you go to the store and get one of those cartons, boxes of salt, it's like a little over a dollar. Unless you get that really fancy stuff like pink Himalayan or something like that. That's really expensive. But regular salt these days is really inexpensive. It's cheap. It's not very valuable. But in Jesus' time, salt was very valuable. In fact, every ancient society prized salt. The Hebrews, the Greeks, the Romans, the Byzantines, the Egyptians, salt was an important article of trade. You traded for salt. There was a time where salt and gold were at the same value. Can you imagine that? Gold and salt being worth the same. It was transported across the Mediterranean, and it was also used in camel caravans across the Sahara. Salt was scarce. Everybody needed it, but it was hard to come by. Nations went to war over salt. Nations would put taxes on salt. You had to pay a tax for the salt that you got. At times in history, salt was like currency, like money. Think about it. You know the word salary? The Latin word is salt. That's its basis. Now, not only was salt valuable at that time, but we all know that salt is probably one of the first seasonings ever used. Salt is flavoring food. Take almost any food. Think about it. Almost any food, an egg, a potato, a piece of fish, a piece of meat. Taste it without salt. And just put a little salt on it, and man, it really changes that flavor. A little salt adds so much flavor. So much flavor comes out when you add salt. Even when you make something sweet, you often add a little bit of salt to it. Most cakes and pies, there's just a pinch of salt to bring out that flavor. Salt preserves. You know, long before we had refrigeration, the way you kept food from spoiling frequently was to salt it. Or you could dry it. Or sometimes you did both, right? You salted it and dried it. We know that before refrigeration, this was one of the only ways you could preserve food. Every culture has some form of salted food, salted fish, salted seafood. Sometimes there was enough salt from the salt water that the fish came in that you could just dry it that way. And sometimes you would add salt. You would pack it in salt. This was done with meats and vegetables. Salt draws out water to help the drying process. And then it adds flavor. It prevents bacteria and fungus from growing. And it prevents spoilage. You know, for me, when I think comfort food, like comfort, what makes you comfortable? Salted fish and sticky rice. Man, when I have that, I think of home. I think of my mom and dad. Salted fish and sticky rice, man, if I think about it long enough, it'll make me cry. So salt has value. It flavors and seasons, and it preserves and saves. You are the salt of the earth, said Jesus. Let's look at that sentence in some parts. You. In the Greek, it is the second person plural. English is a little sloppy with that pronoun, right? You, it could be you, like just you, or you. We know that other languages are a little bit better distinguishing the plural and the singular. French, it's tu versus vous. In Mandarin, it's ni or nimen. I would assume it's the same in Korean, right? You could distinguish between whether it's you singular or you plural. I mean, the closest we get in English is you and y'all. Or as my friend from Atlanta would say, all of y'all. Jesus was not talking to you singular when he said this. He meant to say y'all. You all are the salt of the earth. Jesus was talking to the followers who were listening then, and he's talking to you, Cornerstone, right now. Y'all are the salt of the earth. You are. The verb is to be. I am. You are. He, she, is. It is a state of being. To exist in a particular space and place. To be. To be at peace. To be troubled. To be concerned. To be joyful. And it is in the present tense, right here, right now. It's not in its future tense. You will be salt of the earth someday. Nor is it in the past tense. You were the salt of the earth, but not anymore. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And salt, I've already talked about salt, to have value, to flavor and season, to preserve and save. You're valuable as children of God. God finds flavor and favor with you. You didn't need to do anything to deserve it, because it is a gift from God. That's why it's called grace. You bring flavor and seasoning to the world. You add something to the spaces you occupy. And you preserve and save. When something might spoil, when something might go bad, when something might lose its usefulness, you preserve it. You're the salt of the earth. The earth. Notice Jesus did not say, you're the salt of your neighborhood, or your town, or even your nation. Jesus said, the earth. Where's your earth? I think it includes all those other aspects, your neighborhood, your town, your nation. But your earth, I believe, is wherever your foot touches, is your earth. You're the salt of your classrooms. You're the salt of your living room. You're the salt of your office or workspace. You're the salt of your car and the streets you travel on. You're the salt of your coffee shop or supermarket. Are you getting it? Wherever you go, there you are to be salt. Now take note, Jesus doesn't say, if you want to become salt, you need to do this. Nor does he say, because I call you salt, I need you to do this for me. He says it both simply and directly. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Because we're reading this small portion of Scripture, we might miss the surrounding passages and the situation that Jesus is preaching. As I said, he's preaching this sermon. And right before the part we just read, right before the part about the salt and light, Jesus talks about who's blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus was blessing people. He was commending them, affirming them. All of you who are poor in spirit, yes. All of you who mourn, yes. All of you who show mercy, yes. And our passage, Jesus is just continuing it. You're the salt of the earth. You're a blessing to the earth. Some of us may have a hard time believing this or even accepting this. Aren't we supposed to do stuff to earn that blessing? Jesus didn't say that. So much of what we may hear is that what we do is not good enough. That we have to work for or work harder for the approval. But Jesus is just blessing you. It's hard for us to take and receive that. Years ago, when I was a pastor in New York City's Chinatown, I invited the principal of the local public school to come and speak to the church. He was the only Asian American principal in a New York City public school at that time. He talked about growing up in a typical Chinese home where there was always an expectation to do well. And if you did well, you had to keep it up. He shared how no matter how hard he tried, it never seemed to be good enough. He would get a 90 on a test, and his parents would say, "You could do better." He got a 97, and his dad would say, "You missed three." He remembers finally getting 100, and his father said, "Now do it again next time." Those of us listening, when that principal was talking, I looked around the room, and you could see like some of the young kids were looking at their parents going like, "See?" And some of the parents were looking back like, "What?" Sometimes, depending on your upbringing, we have a hard time believing that we are blessed just the way we are, that we're loved just the way we are, that we're sufficient, we're complete, we're whole, we are beloved children of God and followers of Jesus. We're the salt of the earth. Now, I realize that Jesus goes on to say that salt that has lost its saltiness is useless. This seems to say that maybe not all of us are salt. I thought about this for a while. Can salt ever lose its saltiness? I mean, no matter how old your salt is, it's still salt. I've never, like, had a salt shaker with salt and then one day went like, "Huh, it's not salty anymore." Never happens. I think the only way that salt can lose saltiness is if it's diluted. I mean, you put it in water and you dissolve it, sure, then it's no longer salt. It's salty water, I guess, and you put more water in it, it just dilutes it. So that's kind of like losing saltiness, I guess. I was doing a little research and I realized that sometimes salt is faked. In ancient times, don't forget, this stuff is valuable, right? So in ancient times, dishonest merchants would sometimes cut the salt with white sand. So because salt is valuable, dishonest people use dishonest means to stretch the product. That still happens today. But if a merchant used too much sand to stretch the salt, and you were too trusting and you didn't taste the salt until you got home and realized half of it is sand, Yeah, you can't do anything with that. That stuff you do throw away. Perhaps Jesus was allowing for that possibility that some followers were not truly following Jesus, but following their own desires, their own wishes. They were diluting the salt and therefore losing its flavor. True salt, genuine salt, cannot lose its saltiness. Because of the blessing nature that is in Matthew 5, Jesus is highlighting the reliability and the power of the gift he gives you. You are the salt of the earth. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to stay. Period. So what do we do about this? What do we do as salt of the earth? Let me give you a small example. What it means to be salt of the earth. Not long ago, Pope Francis said during a New Year sermon, he said that the people who have the most influence on society are actually the normal people, the common people, through their normal everyday gestures, like being kind in public places or paying attention to the elderly. The Pope called such people, and I love this phrase, artisans of the common good. Small deeds, he said, express concretely love for the city without giving speeches, without publicity, but with a style of practical civic education for daily life. The Pope focused especially on driving, praising those people who move in traffic with good sense and prudence. That's funny. Why driving? Because driving is precisely the kind of everyday activity through which people mold the culture of the community. If you speed up so I can't merge into your lane, you're teaching me that this community is competitive and not cooperative. If, on the other hand, you give me a friendly wave after I let you in, you're teaching me that this is a place where kindness is recognized and gratitude is expressed. Artisans of the common good. I think Jesus would just say, you're the salt of the earth. Look, this is a little crazy. But what if you started writing down, keeping a log, collecting examples of salt and light when you notice it? It's either something you did or something you observed. Really, start to collect examples of where God has worked through you or others to help. Now, I know this may be difficult for many of us who were taught never to boast. Oh, I'm going to write down, hey, I was a good guy today. I did a good thing, right? I get points. We're taught not to be like that, but at the same time, it's not about keeping score, but just to observe and see where you or someone is being salt or light. Look to see where God is using you. Or using someone else. It will help you to start looking for God in the world and begin to believe that you are someone through whom God is working. Just think about it. I do like salt. Let's pray. We continue to give you thanks, O God, that you bless us, that you find us worthy, that you call us by name, that you know each and every one of us, maybe even better than we know ourselves. For the opportunity to gather in worship and be with one another, and before your presence, we give you thanks. We pray that your presence would be with us as we move about our city and our communities and our families. Help us to be what you have blessed us as being, salt and light in the world. Help us to flavor and season our communities. Help us to be a light that shines brightly in our community. Again, O God, for this time of worship and praise, we give you thanks, and we pray all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.